Welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live. Getting right into it tonight after a 3-2 Rangers loss to the Minnesota Twins to open up this four-game series at home. Kind of a boring game, if we're being real. The Rangers scored early. Twins answered almost immediately. And from that point on, not a lot of runs were scored in this one. Pitcher's duel pretty much from cover to cover. A run gets squeezed across in the top of the ninth inning by the Twins. Rangers are not able to answer against Duran, one of the Twins' best relief arms, their closer on the back end of the bullpen. And that's all she wrote. So we're going to get into everything here in just a little bit, cover all the highlights, the scoring, go through the box score with you, talk about some of the bright spots in this one, and then we will look to preview tomorrow's game for you. Again, Rangers in the midst of a four-game series against Minnesota, a Minnesota team that is vying, jockeying for playoff positioning. We shall see what the rest of the series holds, but the Rangers dropped the first game tonight, 3-2. Have not won back-to-back games since the White Sox series. Yeesh. That was July 21st to 25th. Not good. But before we get into it, here at Right on Rangers, we cover everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers, and especially the Rangers during baseball season. Want to say a special thank you to everyone watching live or watching on the replay. A lot of Rangers content out there. Thank you for choosing Right on Rangers, where we bring you the post-game analysis, win or loss, rain or shine from every Texas Rangers game. Drop some comments. You got a question for me? You got something you need to get off your chest? Put it in the chat. We'll get to it. And if you're not following yet, hit that follow or subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. Stay up to date with all of our latest and greatest content. Get notified every time we go live. You know the drill. Let me get to the comments now. Yeah, this was a very sad one to watch. Baseball Network, what's going on? This was not a great game to be entertained by. You had a very promising first inning. Like, the Rangers go up 2-0 in the first inning. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, we might have something here. This might actually be a good game. The offense maybe actually came to play tonight. Instead, the Rangers failed to score in the final 8 innings of this one. And the Twins also failed to score after their half inning in response to the Rangers. No runs scored between the 3rd and 8th inning. Twins squeeze across one in the 9th thanks to some Rangers errors. Rangers just had multiple mistakes in this one. The game tonight, the margin was just razor thin for errors. You had both pitchers, for the most part, on. The Rangers, I think, did waste some opportunities tonight offensively against Bailey Ober. But Cody Bradford was dealing. Rangers' bullpen was sharp. This game, just you did not have a lot of room for error at all. And there were multiple ones. We're going to get to those in just a little bit. Tristan, what's up, man? Thanks for tuning in. Agreed. Hard to watch in this one. Hard to watch, y'all. But nevertheless, we are going to get into the minutiae of this one with you. And we are going to also, like I said, talk about some of the positives. I think that's always a healthy thing to do. But there are a few big moments in this game that really bit the Rangers. Let's start with the top of the second inning. Top of the second inning, the Rangers had just scored 2 runs, made it 2-0. I am going to do a deep dive into this. I didn't do it yesterday because the Rangers actually got the win, but I want to do a deep dive into how many times have the Rangers scored and immediately allowed the other team to score in the next half inning. In other words, how many times have the Rangers been eluded by the shutdown inning? It feels like a lot. So the Rangers score bottom second immediately in the top half. They give up 2 runs and the lead. And that happened multiple times in the Red Sox series, Yankees series. The Rangers just have an issue with getting the shutdown inning after putting up runs. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if there's a science behind it to break down, but it's been something that the Rangers have struggled with all year long. Now, in the top of the second inning, I don't feel like you can fault all of those 2 runs to Cody Bradford. Top of the second inning, Willie Castro homers. And that was pretty much immediately, right away, first batter of that inning. 1-1 count. And Bradford puts one kind of a little bit low, but center cut, you know, not quite at the bottom of the zone, and kind of hung that curveball at 74 miles an hour, and Castro takes it deep. The next play was just a comedy of errors. Leody absolutely had a tough bounce off the wall to deal with. Let's be completely clear about that. That was not a natural bounce. Leody very comfortable in that ballpark. I can imagine he knows his way fairly well around the outfield, the caroms, the movement of the baseball off the wall. It was absolutely an irregular bounce. What followed after that, I thought was ridiculous. They actually kind of panned away from Leody, and they went to Kyle Farmer, who was running around second base. Cameraman, I think, just assumed that Leody was going to glove that one pretty cleanly after speeding up to it. What ensued after that? Leody just totally whiffing on the ball, trying to get it into his glove, allowing a triple, would have definitely been a triple, to turn into an inside-the-park home run. Can't happen. I mean, that is the mistake that ultimately was the difference in the Rangers winning and in the Rangers being ahead in this ballgame. I mean, that run doesn't score. It's at least a tie game going into the late innings. You never know how things change. But that error led directly to a run. We don't know how Cody Bradford responds. Maybe Cody strikes out the next three in a row and we get out of that inning 2-1. It's very likely that they do score and it becomes a 2-2 game. But you can't have errors like that when the offense is not consistent, when the offense is not scoring runs late. So for Leody's error there to lead directly to a run, painful in a game like this, extremely painful. We can't put it all on Leody, and we're not doing that by any means. But when errors lead directly to runs, I mean, this isn't Josh Smith booting a ball with, you know, two outs in the top of the fifth and the runner gets first base. I mean, this is, again, error leads directly to runs. It's unfortunate. In a game this close, it's unfortunate. And then I think you have to point to the top of the ninth inning. Kirby Yates, for as good as he's been, he does take the loss in this one. Kirby Yates not holding the runners, not holding that runner that he walked in the top of the ninth. So Kirby Yates walked Matt Wallner. Matt Wallner stole second base by a mile. It wasn't even close. Kirby Yates not holding runners very close. Not holding that runner at least very close at all. This has been a problem for the Rangers all season long. The pitching staff, I feel, has really, really struggled to hold base runners and to prevent them from getting big jumps. It's been an issue with multiple pitchers. I have no idea what it is. Again, this is another question. You hear me say this all the time. Another question that I'd love for Rangers media reporters to get pointed with. What is up with the inability to hold runners? I mean, you know that they're going to company line you, but nevertheless, what is up with the inability for many of our Rangers pitchers to hold runners close? Jonah Heim, I think, is pretty good defensively back there. I know some people are kind of lumping Heim into it. Just my assessment, I do not feel like a lot of these stolen bases are on Heim. I think Heim has a good pop time. I'd love to see the advanced stats, but I think he's got a plus arm and a good pop time. I feel many of our steals come from an inability of the pitching staff to control the base runners themselves. And to me, I think that's on the player. I think it's on the coaches to an extent. I would love for the Rangers media and reporters to get pointed with Bochy, Maddux, the pitching coordinator, Bush. I would love for them to ask these guys point-blank questions. It's bad. Jonah Heim, I think we broke it down, has thrown out less than 20% of would-be base stealers. That's terrible. And that gets put on Jonah Heim, but let's be real. A lot of it's on the pitchers, not holding runners close. Kirby Yates, ninth inning, perfect example. Not even close. And because that runner steals second base, now the wild pitch allows them to get to second and third after Yates walked another batter in Margot. And I'm sorry, that wild pitch, I know that we were taking some heat off Heim with the stolen base, but that wild pitch or pass ball, whatever they ended up scoring it, that has to be stopped. I know that that is a spike ball. 100% that's a spike ball by Kirby Yates. It's a bad pitch. But Jonah Heim has got to stop that. He tried to glove it, and things just went terribly after that. That looked like a pretty true straight short hop that Heim could have probably just blocked, gone to his knees, gotten to a defensive position, didn't need to glove that. Now, look, I know he is one of the best catchers defensively in the big leagues, has a lot of confidence in the backhand scoop. But with runners on base in a tie game, you have got to block that baseball. Terrible pitch by Yates. Total spike ball. But that bounce was actually, I felt like, pretty true. It didn't feel like that took a bounce and just went straight left, straight right, and nothing could have been done about it. Just looked like Heim not able to glove it backhanded. And if he goes into a defensive blocking position, probably kills that one right in front of him. And I don't think the runners advance at all. You never know what's going to happen after the ball bounces off the chest protector. But I feel like Heim has just got to stop that baseball. So I don't put the steal on Heim by any means. But that ball that gets away from him, he has got to block that baseball. And that is the difference in the game. It is. Those are really the three plays. Leody fumbling the ball out there in center field. Kirby Yates not holding runners on base. And Jonah Heim whiffing on a backhanded scoop. And there are all the Rangers' runs that they allowed tonight, for the most part. The home run, pretty much the only true one in the top of the second inning. The solo shot. Other than that, I feel like the Rangers basically gave away the last two runs that the Twins scored tonight. Is what it is. We definitely, and I'm seeing some comments on TikTok here. G-Regulator, what's up, man? What's going on? Blaine, what's going on? If you guys are still tuned in. Yeah, the Rangers are going tough right now. I actually wanted to talk about this tonight. Somebody on TikTok saying the Rangers World Series was a fluke. I mean, we can go back and forth about that all night long. And you're hearing that a lot now with how the Rangers are playing. The World Series was a fluke. Come on now. I mean, look. The reality is, it's not easy to win a World Series. The Rangers went through incredibly good competition. If you're going to say fluke, I mean, look, I just don't think I agree. It's not a fluke to beat Tampa Bay, Baltimore, and Houston all on the road. That's not a fluke. It's just not. So I don't think I can go there. If you're a Rangers hater, say it all you want. But this wasn't a cupcake World Series. This wasn't the Rangers getting favorable matchups in 2023. Come on now. This was not Rangers getting a cupcake run to the World Series. The Rangers earned every bit of their World Series. A fluke would be the Rangers fortuitously ran into a bunch of easy competition. Maybe there were some key injuries along the way that benefited the Rangers. And they fluked their way to the World Series and won it. The Rangers did not lose a road game in 2023. That's not a fluke. The Rangers beat multiple outstanding teams on their way to a World Series championship. It's not a fluke. Again, I just can't go there. If you're a Rangers hater, I get it. It's an easy thing to say. It's lazy. It's a lazy take. Rangers World Series, not a fluke. Many World Series teams struggle the next year. It's not like a brand new thing that the team that wins the World Series isn't right back there winning again the next year. So I can't go there, but I appreciate the comment nonetheless. I really do. A World Series is a World Series. It really is. There's a reason why there's, what, five or six teams that still haven't won it? A World Series is a World Series. I can't say anything different. I've hated how this season has gone for the Rangers. I hate how it's turned out. This team is a shell of what they were last year at this point. Still love the Rangers. Y'all ain't going to see me going away anytime soon, but this team is a shell of themselves right now. They haven't won back-to-back games since the White Sox series. That's ugly. That is ugly. You have not won back-to-back games since you played the worst team in baseball. Oof. All right. Steven, what's up, my guy? Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate the comments. That means a lot. Thank you, sir. Tava Squad, what's going on? Tava Quad, new rules limit, number of throwovers. Yeah, that doesn't help. That's true. So for anybody on TikTok, I know you guys don't get the benefit of the comments that I put up on the screen sometimes from YouTube and everything like that, but someone commented on YouTube that the limits on how many times you can throw over hurts. I do agree, but that being said, there are guys and there are teams with better numbers against the steal than the Rangers. There are catchers that are throwing out more than 20%. I think Jonah Heim is something like, again, a 15% guy when it comes to catching would-be base stealers. There are guys with considerable better percentages than that. So I do agree in that the rules that limit how many times you can pick, you can try and pick off, I think they have contributed to the Rangers' struggles with holding on base runners. But other teams, I think, have adjusted and done a much better job than the Rangers have holding guys on. So I think at some point that does come down to coaching. It's on the players to an extent, but I think it's also on the coaches to figure out how can we limit base stealers like some other teams around Major League Baseball have been able to do. It's not like everybody is allowing steals at an 85% success rate like the Rangers are. Would-be stealers are 85% successful. That's terrible. That's like candy to a baby, seriously. So I can only go so far with the excuse of new rule change, but I agree it has played some part. Let me see here. Langford should not be DH. I would have rather Jankowski play center tonight. Look, I think that Langford definitely is a guy that enjoys playing out in the field. Some guys are like that. They need to play in the field in order to have a good all-around game. Not everybody is cut out to be a DH. A lot of former players have talked about this. It's not easy to be a DH. I know it feels like it is. Oh, all you got to do is bat. That's all you got to do. It's more complicated than that. You don't have the ability to make up for anything you're doing at the plate out in the field. There's a lot of pressure for you to get hits as the designated hitter. There's more pressure, I think, on that than almost any other position, minus the guys that are getting paid big bucks, some of your big contract guys. They always have that pressure with them. But I just don't think it's an easy spot to play consistently. But it was clear the Rangers tonight were trying to get some guys some rest. So you had Seager out tonight. That doesn't help. You guys know how I feel. Kind of a pet peeve for me. I just do not like it when we rest people the very first game of a series, especially coming back home. First game coming back home. You know the fans want to see Corey. I mean, I get it. You got to rest him at some point, and it's a brutal stretch of games. Rangers don't have an off day till a week from today. So they play six more games. They don't have another off day till next Thursday. So I get it. Siegs was going to rest at some point. It's just a pet peeve of mine. Patrick, what's up, man? Hey, I'm assuming you're talking about the World Series run last year. Corey Seager, he's my GOAT. I mean, he's absolutely my GOAT. Love Corey. I would say this year he's starting to catch fire. Little bit of an up and down start for him with the injury and the surgery at the beginning of spring training. But Corey Seager, goated, 100%. Can't deny it. Two-time World Series MVP. Only four people in Major League Baseball history have ever won two World Series MVPs. Are you kidding me? You can't take that away. It's another reason why I just don't buy into the fluke thing. It's just an incredibly special run the Rangers went on. They were elite. They won 11 road games in a row. Set a postseason record for most road wins. Dolly breaking the record for most RBI in a postseason. You just can't say that that's a fluke. I don't know. I'm not going there. Plexman, what's up? Thanks for tuning in. A Semien contract about to start hurting. If he keeps playing the way that he is, the Semien contract is about to start hurting. It surely is about to start hurting. So I hope that Marcus can turn it around next year. Sometimes guys have a down year and they come back the next year firing on all cylinders. Marcus, it's a down year for him. It is. And I've talked about Marcus Semien and his struggles. The fact that Marcus Semien has a 3.14/13 on base percentage as our leadoff hitter. I mean, Marcus played 12 games in the three hole. Otherwise, he's led off every other game. When your leadoff hitter has a 3.14 OBP, that's not going to be a recipe for success. Marcus has got to figure out a way to get on base more, whether it's walks, whether it's hits, it doesn't matter. You have got to get on base at more than a 31%, 32% clip when you are a leadoff hitter. That number has to be closer to 35, 40% clip getting on base every time you step up to the plate. They have got to depend on Marcus to set the table. He did tonight, so we're not taking tonight away from him. Simi was 2 for 5. We talked about on our video, our reel that we put out earlier today on our short, how Marcus hit Bailey Ober very well. He was 5 for 9 against Ober coming into this one. I think he improved that to 7 for 11. So Marcus hit Bailey Ober very well tonight and in his career. So he set the table tonight. You wish you could see more performances like this from Simi. I really do hope that he comes back next year and he's ready to be the guy that he's been in the past for the Blue Jays, the A's. I know Marcus is getting up there in age, but we got to have a 350 OBP from him at minimum. I know that it's easier said than done. The OBP has to be a 350 for Marcus if he's going to continue to be a leadoff guy. A big reason I think the offense has struggled. When your table setter has a 240 average and a 314 OBP, that's not going to go well. Who will win the MVP? Super tough. I really don't know what the odds on favorites are at this point. I'm going to go MVP AL odds right now and just see. I mean, there's several guys that are having really great years. So right now, the MVP odds leader, Judge, is prohibitive favorite. Bobby Witt is 5.5 to 1. Juan Soto is 30 to 1. Gunnar Henderson, 35 to 1. And then it gets pretty ridiculous with the odds after that. Otani is the odds on favorite. It's a very prohibitive favorite, even more so than Aaron Judge in the NL. Ketel Marte is 8.5 to 1. Bryce Harper is 65 to 1. Ozuna and De La Cruz are each 65 to 1. So it looks like the front runners, Judge and Otani. Shocker. Shocker, right? But Judge and Otani, favorites, I would go with them. I think that they will most likely win MVP. The Cy Young, I think, could get a little more interesting in the NL. Is Skeens going to be able to pull it off? He's lost, I think, 2 straight starts. We'll see what happens. Back to Rangers, though. Yeah, finding new ways to lose. John, what's up, my guy? Thank you for tuning in. Yeah, the Leody error that led directly to a run in the top of the second. The wild pitch Jonah Heim allows, I think it does go down as a wild pitch in the box score, but I kind of give that one to Jonah Heim, if I'm being honest. Jonah Heim could have blocked that baseball. I think he would tell you that he could have blocked that baseball. He tried to do the backhanded glove work, and it didn't work out. And it gets passed, sets up second and third, and a sac fly then wins the game. Adolis definitely had a great game. He had a phenomenal game, 3 hits. He's been on a tear of late. You got to give him his props. Dolie, now if we look at his last 7 games, the numbers are very good. Dolie's hitting 500 in his last 7 games. Hitting 500 in his last 7. That's phenomenal. That is absolutely phenomenal. 500, 14 hits in your last 7 games, averaging 2 hits a game, 2 homers, 6 RBI. Dolie is on a tear right now, and I'm glad to see him bring it back home from the East Coast. So can't put much of this game on Dolie. He had the RBI in the top half. I think, again, though, if we're just being real in the bottom of that first inning, the Rangers wasted an opportunity. I mean, the Rangers had a chance to break this game wide open. Josh Jung gets the sac fly. Look, at least you get a run there. But you got bases loaded, one out in a 1-0 game. It's time to break that sucker open. And that is what the Rangers needed to do to win this game. They needed to break this game wide open in the bottom of the first inning, and they didn't. You get a little sac fly. The big hit has just eluded the Rangers at times. It didn't last night, but consistently the big hit has eluded the Texas Rangers, along with the ability to get the shutdown inning, which I'm going to do a deep dive on. I know I keep saying that. I'm going to do a deep dive. What is the percentage? How many times have the Rangers had a shutdown inning when the opportunity presents itself? It doesn't feel like very often late. It barely happened in the Boston series. I think it happened once or twice in the Yankee series. It's not common, and that's not good. Another reason why the Rangers are where they are right now. Now, let me go through a couple of other things that I wanted to go through, and then I'm going to get back to comments here. I think we would definitely be remiss if we didn't bring up some of the great bullpen performances tonight. Pennington. pitched a great eighth inning. I love what I'm seeing from Pennington so far. Back-to-back, very, very quality outings from him. I hope this can be something that continues. We could use a guy like Pennington in the bullpen. This year, obviously, is probably not going to be relevant in terms of doing anything special. But next year, to have a guy like Pennington throwing well as a lefty out of the pen, 100%, I hope that next year he can be a piece for us back in the pen. Leclerc, 2 walks tonight. Didn't love that, but did get out of the inning without giving up a run or a hit. Did strike out the side, so nice little bounce back from Leclerc. I can't say I was expecting things to go well when he came into the game after Bradford. We've already complimented Bradford, but he continues to deal since coming back from the IL. Bradford in his last 7 games, 4-0 with a 3.50 ERA. In some of those games, I do believe a couple of them were before the injury. I think he only has 4 or 5 starts since coming back from the IL. But 4-0. Cody Bradford is undefeated on the season. 3.50 ERA, and he looks really good. Has not given up more than 3 runs in his past 3 starts. Boston, New York, Minnesota, all playoff-esque teams, some more than others. Boston, I know, is kind of on the fringe right now, but he's faced pretty good competition his last 3 starts. He's not going out there against cupcakes, and he's pitching very, very well. Only 2 strikeouts tonight, but limited the Minnesota Twins to 8 base runners on the night. 6 hits, 2 walks, 2 earned runs. Let's give some props to Cody Bradford. It's going to be fun next year. The Rangers are going to have a decent little rotation. You assume DeGrom is going to be fully healthy. You assume that Evo is going to be back. You got Cody Bradford as well. You still got John Gray. Hopefully he can have a healthy 2025. You've got Tyler Mahle. I think this Rangers rotation is going to be pretty solid next year. I actually feel really good about it. I hope that the Rangers can add some bats. I think that's going to be the big question mark. I think the pitching, they're going to find a way to retool the bullpen. Some guys are going to be leaving. Maybe some guys will stick around, but I think the Rangers are going to be fine pitching-wise. I do think that the bats are what they need to most address in the offseason. I hope that the ownership opens up those purse strings just a little bit. Please, just a little bit. And we're going to do all the free agency breakdowns and who could the Rangers potentially go after. We're going to cover all that as we get closer to the end of the season and, of course, in the offseason itself. Let me keep going with comments. I did see Jack Leiter had a great start today. I think he did touch twice, 100 miles an hour. Good to see Leiter doing well. And I don't want to be a downer on his start tonight. I do think, you know, from game to game, we can sometimes overhype the individual performances in the minor leagues. I just really hope that Jack Leiter isn't a quadruple A guy. If you're not familiar with that term, basically what I'm saying is I hope he's not a guy that can kill it down at AAA, but just can't hack it up at the major league level. Quadruple A is what I call it. I didn't make up the phrase, so don't take it as I'm trying to coin it. Quadruple A, though, there's several guys in the Rangers org that are like that. They can kill it down in AAA, and when they get up to the major leagues, they cannot produce at a consistent level. I hope that is not Jack Leiter's fate. I'm glad to see him pitching well down in the minor leagues. I hope that he can come back up in September. CY talked about Leiter perhaps being used in a bullpen role, kind of to acclimate him to the major leagues. They don't want him to be a bullpen guy long-term, so don't take that the wrong way. But they just want him to get his feet wet in the majors without the pressure of having to start and consistently get outs over a 5-6 inning stretch. Agree, disagree with the strategy, but that is what CY intimated in a recent interview, that they'd like to have Leiter be kind of a bullpen guy for the Rangers at the end of the season and get his feet wet better with the major leagues. So we'll see how that goes. John says, giving back the 2 runs in the top was just revolting. It disgusts me. And I'm not trying to be overdramatic, but one of the biggest things that my coaches growing up and just coaches that I admire, respect, some of you guys who have been watching with me for a while, you know, I do a little coaching myself, football, baseball, played baseball in college, real small school, nothing special. But a lot of the coaches that I respect in the game, I've watched a lot of videos, seminars. I'm not an expert by any means, but one of the biggest things I always hear coaches preaching, keys to victory, you know, putting up crooked numbers. I'll just give you 2 tonight. I don't want to go on and on, but putting up the crooked number on offense, right? Being able to score, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, more than just 1 run in an inning, and then being able to shut down the other team after you score. going back out in the next half inning and shutting down the opposing team is so vital to victories. It kills momentum and it keeps momentum with you. If you allow runs right back after you score, it is an absolute momentum killer. You have an opportunity to put a stranglehold on the other team when you can go score two and then throw up a zero. Rangers have struggled with that all year. It disgusts me. It's one of the reasons why the Rangers are where they are. They can't shut down the other team after scoring consistently enough. And I would say that is one among many reasons why the Rangers are not getting it done. A couple people on TikTok, what's up? At least we're the defending champs. That's what one person says. It is a sad ending, though. I totally agree with that. It's a sad ending to the Rangers defense title, how it's all unfolded. The Rangers now 10 games out of the AL West, needing a miracle, an absolute miracle to somehow find their way into the playoffs. Devin, what's up, my guy? I see you on TikTok. Thanks for the comment. Devin basically says, should the Rangers start really gearing up towards next year? Look, I do think probably quietly they are starting to do that. I don't think that the Rangers front office is really expecting this team to probably come back and get a postseason berth if you got them in a really quiet, honest moment. And I don't think a lot of fans are either. I do think that they need to start giving guys some opportunities to show what they have so we can properly evaluate who is going to be able to contribute in 2025. That's what I hope. I did see Aaron Judge hit his 300th home run. That guy might have 600. He might be a 600-plus guy by the end of his career. I would not be shocked at all. I think Aaron Judge is just getting started out in New York. I think he is going to be a good, good ball player for many years to come. I could definitely see him getting to 600 homers. We'll see what happens. John says, Leclerc almost had a completely clean inning, but terrible strike three call that led to two walks right after. I felt like the umpire actually had a really good game up until about the sixth or seventh inning. I mean, maybe I'm wrong on that, but that was just my feel. Like sixth or seventh inning came around and you started seeing some really bad calls. Josh Young got, I think, rung up on a pretty bad one in the middle to late innings. Yeah, Leclerc, tough break there for him, but it is what it is. You got to make adjustments. I'm glad Leclerc got out of it, struck out the side. Probably should have had four strikeouts, right, if you could do that. Leclerc pitched a pretty good game, I think. Look, let's see it happen over an extended period of time before we get too excited about it, but it was nice to see him come in and not completely melt down, because that is what he's been doing over the past several games. Here's a comment. Somebody asking me, it says, be real. How rigged are sports? I don't think baseball is a sport that can really be rigged very easily. The only approach, I like to do this. I like to sometimes play the other side. I don't think baseball or sports are rigged, but I like to play the other side sometimes. So let's operate with the mentality that sports are rigged, that baseball is rigged. How would you rig it? The umpires? I think you would almost have to start there. If you think baseball's rigged, the umpires would have to be in on it. I just don't think that you can rig baseball very easily. It's either the umpires are making bad calls, getting paid. And again, we're not saying that I'm not saying that I believe in this, but I'm just saying if you were to take that perspective, it's got to be the umpires. That's the only way you could really rig a baseball game, unless you're telling the pitcher to go out there and just throw lollipops right down the middle every time. But you see baseball players pumping 99, 100. I don't think you can really rig that. Now, other sports, I don't know. Other sports is a little bit more difficult. I don't know. But I think baseball, if we're just sticking to baseball, kind of hard to rig. John, I do agree. I'm ready to see some call-ups in September. That's always a fun time. The rosters expand and you get to see some guys come up and get a chance to contribute. We'll see where the Rangers are at. I think if they're able to whittle the division lead down to that 5, 6, 7, I think 5 or 6, it's got to be. I think 7 is still probably too much. Maybe you see them doing things a little bit differently, but if the Rangers are still out 7, 8, 9, 10 games or worse, I think you got to start giving some other guys some playing time. You probably got to stop giving ABs to Jankowski. You got to stop giving ABs to some of these guys that aren't in the long-term plans. Like Leody in September, if we're still double-digit games out, do we really need to keep playing Leody out in the outfield? Can we see what somebody else has down in the minor leagues? That's what I'd like to see. And look, I'm not a Leody hater. I know I've been hard on Leody in my past shows. I really just lead with the stats and they kind of speak for themselves. But personally, I don't think Leody is in the long-term plan. So if he's not, why would you continue to play him if you have an opportunity to give at-bats to somebody else? Now, with Evan Carter's injury, maybe Leody continues to get regular playing time the rest of the season. But if the Rangers are still 10 games out, I'd like to see what one of the minor league outfielders can do. It really doesn't hurt at that point. I mean, what do you have to lose? You're already 10 games out. Bring up some of the minor league outfielders and see what they got. That's what I'd be doing, and I hope to see that with the September call-ups. I hope to see some Rangers guys getting some opportunities. And some of these vet guys, you know, the Robbie Grossmans, the Jankowskis, Leody, I think they need to see less and less ABs if the Rangers are truly focusing on 2025. I really don't know why you would waste any ABs on those guys. It's frustrating for them, but I think you got to start letting some other guys get some better playing time and see what you got. The Rangers have quite a few minor league outfielders. I don't know how many of them I would say are major league ready, but why not see? Give them a little bit of a longer runway and see what you got. So I'm excited for that too. Maybe we get some pitching call-ups, Teodo, Leiter. Who knows? It could be fun. And I think it's going to be fun watching and seeing who could be contributing in 2025. Pennington, I like what we're seeing from him. I hope that Pennington can be a lefty out of the pen next year. We'll see. Let me go to the box score and just kind of put a bow on this one, as I like to say. Runners in scoring position, 1-for-6, 9 guys left on base. So I'm telling y'all, the Rangers had opportunities against Bailey Ober tonight. They just did not take advantage. And you had to take advantage in that first inning. I felt like you had to score more than 2. You had bases loaded, 1 out in a 1-0 game. A ball in the gap puts you up 4-0. You know, I know we can't just magically snap our fingers and get an extra base hit from Josh Jung, but if there was ever a time for him to get that big knock, it would have been nice to bust that game wide open tonight in the bottom of the first inning. Go up 4-0, give Bradford that big cushion. Changes the whole complexion of the game, honestly. We had a few other guys get hits tonight. Nate Lowe hitting 3-spot, 1-for-4. Young, 1-for-3 with an RBI, the sac fly in the bottom of the first inning. Jankowski, 1-for-3. Heim, Leody both go 0-for. We also had Langford going 0-for, but he did draw a walk tonight. And Josh Smith goes 0-for from the 2-spot, albeit had a walk as well. We talked about the bullpen guys. Leclerc, Pennington, great outings. Kirby Yates got into a little bit of trouble with the walks, which he has been prone to do. Big moment in the game was allowing the stolen base with not holding the runner on. Kirby Yates, mistake there from him. Jonah Heim, not able to block the spike ball from Yates. You put it on both of them. Bad throw by Yates, bad pitch, but Jonah Heim got to block that. I mean, that pitch that he allows to get back looked like it bounced pretty true, pretty straight. And Jonah trying to backhand it, didn't work out. And then Leody fumbling around with the baseball out in center field. Those 3 plays, difference in the game. Difference in the game, unfortunately. I think that Dreiling is probably still a ways away. I don't think any of the guys from this draft are going to be on the fast track like Wyatt Langford, unless they just mash down at high A or rookie ball. I don't think we're going to see a lot of fast tracking like we did with Wyatt. Could be wrong, but just my prediction there. I think they're going to have a little bit of a longer track for some of these recent draftees, but I think Wyatt Langford was an exception. I mean, maybe a couple of the Tennessee guys. I know we drafted Dreiling's one of those guys. I know we drafted a couple of SEC guys, and maybe those guys could be ready sooner than the others, but we'll see what happens. You know what I want to check out, which I don't know if I'm going to be able to do. Yeah, I think I can do it on the fly. I want to do a little Brock Porter update with you guys. So Brock Porter was in that Kumar Rocker Leiter draft, and I haven't heard much about Brock Porter this year. He's definitely one of our higher prospects. So Brock Porter, I almost wish I wouldn't have looked it up, but the dude right now, 0-4 with a 6.98 ERA, only 8 games this year so far. And right now he is at, looks like, is he at A level? I think it's at A level. Maybe I'm wrong on that. A level it looks like. A plus it says. So high A, he's at high A right now. All right, sorry, kind of hard to read, MILB.com, but Porter not having a great minor league year right now, and he was one of the guys that I think was pretty highly touted coming out of that draft. Kumar Rocker, obviously Jack Leiter, the big names, but Brock Porter having a tough season. That's unfortunate. Didn't expect him to be major league ready or anything like next year, but just was curious. But kind of wish I wouldn't have looked up those stats. Jeez. Tristan, let's go Rangers. I agree. Let's go Rangers. My goodness. Difference between 3-1 count and 2-2 on umpire discretion is huge. If you know baseball, you see it. Yeah, I think that's going back to our umpire discussion, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, the umpires do have such a big sway in some of these games. I agree. In baseball counts, if you know the game, the difference between a 2-2 count and a 3-1 count is absolutely huge. Having a 3-1 count is everything as a hitter because they don't want to walk you. They don't want to put you on. They might throw you an off-speed pitch, but it's going to be somewhere near the plate. But most times you're getting a fastball on 3-1. 2-2, you're getting anything. It's anybody's guess what you're getting in a 2-2 count. So I totally agree. I do would really want to see the umpires at least have the benefit of a challenge system. And when I say that, I mean I want to see managers and batters be able to challenge certain calls like they do in AAA. I think it'll take some pressure off the umpires. Look, I mean, the field umps already have a little pressure off. Hey, if I got it wrong, that's why you got your replay, right? I mean, I know that the managers still give them crap. Like, dude, why are you making me use a replay on this? Come on. That's obvious, right? You still see that. But the field umpires have a little bit of some grace because of the challenge system. I'd like the home plate umpires to be able to have that as well. Somebody on TikTok, Barry, what's up, man? They say, what are the Rangers' chances next year? I think solid. I don't think the Rangers are going to be odds-on favorites next year, but I don't think that the AL West, I don't think any team in the AL West is just a cut above everybody else. Houston is on a good run right now, but they're getting older. They've got some free agency stuff coming up. Houston's going to be good next year. Like, I'm not saying they're going to fall off a cliff, but I don't think Houston has enough talent to just run away with the division. You saw that this year. Yes, they were dealing with some injuries. But I think the Rangers are just as talented, and I think they will reload. I think the Rangers are going to have a great opportunity next year to be competitive. Hopefully, they can get off to a better start, and hopefully, they will be at full strength and not have to deal with as many injuries, especially to the pitching rotation. So, Barry, I do feel like the Rangers are going to be good next year. I think, actually, 2025 was always going to be a more competitive year than 2024. I always have felt that way. I know other Rangers people have felt that way as well. And that's just something that I think you're going to have to see play out if you don't believe me, but a healthy DeGrom all of 2025. Again, you've got healthy Malley all of 2025. You still got Cody Bradford, John Gray. You've still got some very quality arms. Evo, I think, is going to be back next year. I think he loves playing for Texas, loves Chris Young. I think we'll have Nate back. So look, those five guys I just named, that is an incredible rotation. Maybe we can get some of the one-year guys who are on expiring contracts to stick around on a team-friendly. I think it's going to be tough, especially a guy like Andrew Heaney. Andrew Heaney wants to go get that 3-4-year deal somewhere. I mean, I would if I was in his shoes. You're only going to get so many chances at a multi-year contract playing Major League Baseball. I think Heendog is probably gone. I would love if he stuck around, but I think if he does, it's going to have to be a team-friendly deal. But I think the Rangers have very good chances next year to be competitive. Guys, we got to start wrapping things up here, but I am going to go to the matchup for tomorrow. So in tomorrow's game, the Rangers are going to be throwing Andrew Heaney, speaking of. And the Twins, I believe, if my computer will cooperate and load for me, going a little bit slow tonight, so my apologies. But the Twins, it looks like, are throwing Woods. Really long name. Simeon Woods Richardson. 3.78 ERA on the year. Don't think the Rangers have a lot of ABs against him, if at all. But Simeon Woods Richardson throwing for the Twins tomorrow, Friday night game. And we will have Andrew Heaney going. And Andrew Heaney has been pretty good in his last several outings. By the way, Robbie Grossman, the only guy with at-bats against Woods Richardson. Andrew Heaney, though, in his last seven. Let's talk about it. Last seven games for Heendog, 4.08 ERA. 1-3 record. Last three starts for him, been a little bit up and down. I think he had a great start against Houston on August 5th. The New York start was a little up and down. So we'll see what we get from Heaney tomorrow at home. I'd love to see the home splits for Heaney. We'll see if he pitches any better at home versus on the road. Home games, 3.55 ERA for Heaney. Away games, 4.41. So Heendog likes pitching at home. We'll see if he can get the job done for us. The Twins against Andrew Heaney. You've got Farmer with a home run, 286 average and 7 at-bats. You've got, looks like, a couple other guys with double digits or close to it. Margot is 0-for-8. Santana, the first baseman, also 0-for-8. Vasquez, the catcher, 1-for-10. You got Kepler, 1-for-7. So Andrew Heaney has some very good numbers against the Twins and against their lineup. Hopefully tomorrow can be a day where we jump on Woods Richardson early. Woods Richardson has only started 21 games in his major league career, so still very, very green. And in his last seven starts, he's 0-2 with a 4.46 ERA, coming off a very good start against the Guardians, 7 innings, 2 earned runs. Before that, against the White Sox, 4 innings, 9 base runners, 3 earned runs. Before that, against the Mets, 3 1/3, 6 earned runs. So I think that Woods Richardson is a guy that we can definitely get some hits off of and score some runs against. Easier said than done for this Rangers offense, but I think tomorrow's game is there for the taking. You got Heendog on the mound, loves throwing at home, 3.55 ERA at Globe Life Field, going against an inexperienced pitcher. Hopefully the Rangers bats with Corey Seager back in the lineup can take advantage. Aaron, I've kind of thought about this as well. Man, are they just not playing enough Creed in that locker room? Is that what's going on with the Rangers right now? That's another hard-hitting question that needs to be asked. Like, did you guys just stop playing Creed? Is that why you're sucking right now? Do we need to have Creed show up to Globe Life and just give y'all a personal concert? What do we have to do here? I mean, I don't know. I'd be trying anything at this point. If you got to fly in Creed to get this team a jump start, do it. Please. That's funny, though. I've actually been thinking about that. When they played the Creed music at the White House, the orchestra-style Creed, I was thinking about that. I'm like, maybe that is the problem. So, Aaron, great minds think alike, my friend. Appreciate you tuning in tonight. Hey, guys, we got to call it. We got a few other things to do this evening, but we're going to be back tomorrow night to break down everything. Appreciate all y'all tuning in. If you're not following, you're not subscribed to the channel, please do so. Hit that follow, subscribe button. Hit that notification button as well. Get notified every time we go live. Keep up to date with all of our latest and greatest content. If you know somebody as well that loves the Rangers, that's a big baseball fan, please tell them about the channel. Tell them about Ride on Rangers. Share this video with them or share one of my short vids with them as well. Put those out every single day. I really appreciate you guys. I'd be really grateful for that. Somebody on TikTok, couple last second comments here. Vernon, what's up? Rangers bullpen is overused. They should have re-signed Monty. I don't know if I would have re-signed Monty. The price, I think, was too high, and Monty really hasn't been that good this year, so I'm glad that they didn't pay a steep price for Jordan Montgomery. I do agree the bullpen is a little bit overused. I do think you're going to see some wear and tear. I think Robertson is probably a little bit fatigued at this point. Kirby Yates hasn't shown those signs yet, but I think he's probably getting a little bit overused right now as well. We'll see what happens. All right, y'all. Thank you again for the comments. Appreciate you guys. We'll see you tomorrow about the same time. I really do think that the Rangers could have had this one. Like my boy here says, we could have put the Twinkies away pretty early, but it was not meant to be. That inning where we loaded the bases, the bottom of the first, one out, bases loaded. You got to get that gapper. You got to get that kill shot, especially with that Rangers offense being as inconsistent as they are, and it just didn't come. It is what it is. We are on to tomorrow. We are here faithfully, guys, to every night, rain or shine, win or loss, bringing you great post-game coverage of the Texas Rangers. We love them. They're down bad right now. We don't love watching all of these stinkers, watching all these losses, but we do love the Rangers and always will, and we'll keep on showing up. And as I always say, God bless. Go Rangers. Appreciate all the kind words tonight. Thank you, guys. That means a lot. All I did when I first started this channel, I just wanted getting good people together, talking Rangers baseball, talking sports, talking ball in general, and I think we're accomplishing that. So truly, thank you guys. Hope you have a great night.